The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of that glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Salvinius, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to that portion that we read together, and we have two verses, it may be three verses, for our text this evening. From 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 5 and then verse 6. The letter of Peter is written to Christians who are in real trouble. They are Christians. They're definitely Christians. They have been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. That which they've been bought with is better than gold and silver. But they're in trouble. And when a person becomes a Christian, I can assure you this, that you will know of glory, but you will also know of trouble. And what happens is that the Apostle Peter has to write to this church to lead them and instruct them in the severe trial of their faith, which we know about in chapter 1, as he tells us there in verse 6, now you've been grieved by various trials, verse 7, tested by fire. And if you want to know the letter in the New Testament which speaks to you about suffering in your life, then it is then the book of 1 Peter. They are persecuted, but they are precious. They are people who know what it is to then suffer, but they have a great shepherd who is looking after them. But what happens in this book, which is interesting, is that the Apostle Peter gives them some instruction of how they should deal with these now which are persecuting them. He reminds them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he himself was then under suffering, how he reviled not again, how he patiently went to that cross, and he suffered, and he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And then you find what he says on a number of occasions. I'm going to listen to these words. In 2 Peter verse 18, he says, "Now, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. And then you've got it there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. "Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, and even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by your conduct as wives." Verse 5. "In this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." And then you've got this here in verse 5 of chapter 5. "Likewise, your younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." And you have this great instruction which is given to them, different ones, that they should now be submissive, that they should be humble, as he tells us, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with the humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now you think of that message this day, in a day which is the last word you could ever think to be imagined, to be said, to submit yourself, in a day where no one submits to any authority. No one submits to authority in the schools. No one submits to authority in work. No one submits to authority in the church. No one submits to authority in the world. That's the fact that we live in. And yet now there is this where the Word of God tells us we are to submit to one another. There is something of the Christian life which I want to show you is very much a real Christian experience. And it's one where we are to clothe ourselves with humility, and how we need that in our experience and in our lives. Because whatever else you may think of oneself, there are certain ingredients which, if they're not in one's Christian experience, then one is simply not a Christian. I mean, you can make a fruitcake, but if there's no fruit in it, it's not a fruitcake. And it's like that as a Christian. You can claim to be a Christian, and you can have all the very things which I'll show you, perhaps even in weeks to come. But the reality is, when he says you are to clothe yourselves, and there's a reason for it, because now of the place in which they find themselves in. And perhaps it is then a word for us all here this day, in people who we're going to deal with, the circumstances we find ourselves, the day and age in which we are. The word of Jesus Christ is so different. And there are three things tonight of which we're instructed of. When he tells us here in verse 5, first of all, it is a command. It is an imperative. It's also in a passive mood. It's that you see in a passive voice, when he comes now and he tells them and exhorts them that you should first of all submit yourself to one another. And when he gives this command in verse 5, when he says submit to one another and be clothed with humility, he's speaking actually of one command. One command which is given. And that command is given, first of all, in relation to one another. Because I know in our minds, we can have a figment in our own head, believe it or not, that we are people who are not proud, and we are submissive and humble people. But actually, it is only shown, really, in our interactions with one another. How we deal with one another. How we speak with one another. How we don't speak with one another. These things tell us a great amount of where we really do stand. And when you come to this book and you want to know something of the Christian life, as great Chrysostom said, the philosophy of our religion is humility, humility, humility. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, is the one you see who came down, even himself. And that very verse, where you find here in verse 5, and he says, be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, is that which is taken from John chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ, on that night in which he was betrayed, the Apostle Peter must have been thinking of it. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And that's what you've got here, to gird yourself. And there's the command given to us. It's a command also given by the Apostle Paul himself in the book of Ephesians. There you find it in chapter 5 and verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And he tells them, first of all, as young people. Now, I know why he says young people, because every one of you remembers what it's like to be a young person. Hands up, who wants to be a teenager again? When you knew everything, and you knew no one could be told anything. And it's like that. It was that in our experience. But it's a wonderful kind of instruction, because when you grow up, you begin to realize how little you did know. And then you find that although perhaps your parents knew nothing at 14, by the age of 21, you're amazed how intelligent they are. It's because of the experience of life itself. But it's like that also in our Christian life. Remember, there may be those who have gone further, those who have gone longer, those who are experienced in the things of God. We can learn from them. And it's always a bad sign, even when young ministers can't learn from older ministers. And they may have been in the work for many years, and they may not have been great and successful, but I assure you, in the long service they've had, there are things that you can learn and to listen to them. But I want you to learn, first of all, in verse 5, the command is this, is that all of you should be submissive to one another. And the big thing here is this, to one another. Because although we may have it in our minds, in this brain, in the fantasy of our own imagination, and people can be very humble, can't they, in prayer. We've all been brought up on the evangelical jargon. Oh Lord, how sinful I am, how bad I am, how unworthy we are of the need of mercy and all the rest of it. Yes, every one of those sentences is true in the light of God. But when it comes, you see, real humility is shown not in the light of God, who is almighty and holy and great, and the angels cover their face. It's shown in our actions with one another. Now you deal with one another, how you submit to one another, how you talk to one another, what you say to one another, what you don't say to one another, how you pass over one another, how you have no time, can't even look. All these things are high and awful thoughts which reveal really our human heart and where we are in our thinking of ourselves. It's not what we think what we are, but it is, you see, what we are as we're shown in these deeds. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is one who came to us. And when you think of our Lord and Saviour, you can't help but be amazed, can you not, that even we're told in Luke chapter 2 and in verse then 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subjected, the same word, subjected. He submitted himself to then Mary and to Joseph, and it's the way of our Master. And when you think of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, there is no one who is like unto him who came and submitted when he was in this world, even to powers and authorities, although he was God himself. You've got this great cry, and there's a need for it, as I'll show you later. But I want to talk to you about this, because there's something vital that is true only for a Christian. And when the Apostle Peter tells them that they should be clothed with humility, it's because only the Christian is able to do it, because only the Christian has been given the garment to do it. Because when you began that Christian life, it began in that very place of humility, where you finally came to God and you said to God, sorry for one's sins, where you actually submitted to the Lordship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where you came into this place and you came and you said to God, oh God, help me, I am unable, and you're not living that independent life. Let me tell you something about sin. Let me tell you something about pride. It begins there in the garden, and all pride is on this, is that we weren't able to submit to God, and we can do our own thing and go our own way. But when you become a Christian, there's a garment which has been given to you. You've been broken in your soul. You've acknowledged of what you are. Only the Christian tonight can look at everyone else in this congregation and say in their heart, everyone who sits in this place is better than I. Better than I. Because you've known your heart. You've felt it. And you've seen it. And you know that God's given that to you. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, you would never know it. You remember what you like, how great, how right, how perfect, how true you really were. But Christ came. And you had it there when you were converted. And know what he's telling you now? Pick it up. Put it on once again. Especially as you're dealing with one another. Because in that Christian life in which God has given to us, there is that place where he tells us, I know people don't preach it, don't teach it, don't mention it, can't even believe there's such a thing, that me as a Christian needs to subject myself, yes, everyone, to one another. And there's a place for it, and there's a place of true, real humility. It's worked out in our dealings to and with one another. But then I want to show you too, it's not only in relation to one another, it's in relation to God. And there's a reason for it. There it is in verse 5. He says, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And there's that second aspect to what he's commanding them to do. And the reason is simply this. And it is a reason tonight. Look, you need to humble yourselves to one another, because you need to know in your life and your relationship with God. That's all we're concerned about tonight, is your relationship with God. You know religion, but know something of God. And what you find here is this, you need to know this of God. Think of what we're saying. God resists the proud. If there was anything that you've learned about the God, the one God, the true God, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God, that the Scriptures reveal to us, and what we're told about in Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible tells us there are seven things that God hates. And the first is this. He hates a proud look. A proud heart is an abomination to God. And when you think we're living in a day where we've got such things, listen to this. Pride marches. Pride marches. Well, of all the sin of a pride march, the greatest sin of a pride march is this. With all its abominations, the worst is pride. Do you understand that? That God just hates. And people exalt themselves. And they may think it's good, but they don't put themselves. God resists the proud. And to be of a proud heart and a proud mind is never a good place to be. And what happens now? He wants you to do that. As he tells them here, that you're to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may in due time raise you up. Now, I only heard this story this week, and it was of a fellow preacher, and I think it's definitely true the way he said it. He said that he was in a church, and he said, you wouldn't believe this, but he said in the prayer meeting, this man actually said these words every time he prayed, and he said it used to make him wild. He actually used to say, I'm proud, O Lord, of how humble I am. He said those were the words. And I know it's hard to believe, but that's got to be the most devilish pride that anyone could possibly have. But what you've got here is this. I want you to look. He wants you to humble yourselves tonight under the mighty hand of God. Now that verse and that phrase, the mighty hand of God, is used on many occasions, but in three different ways in Scripture. For example, it's used in Ezra. Don't turn to it. But when he was going to rebuild the temple, it speaks of God's hand which was with him. That's the hand of providence. You find it again with David, where he was chastised, and he speaks of the hand of God which was with him. That's the hand of discipline. You find it again there when God brought Moses and the people out of Israel with a mighty hand. It was the hand of deliverance. And tonight he's asking and speaking to these Christians. They are suffering greatly. And what he does actually, he's actually quoting from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse then 34. It's a very poignant quote where he says, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. And there in your life, can I tell you tonight, first of all, anyone here who knows what it is to be humbled with God in his dealings with you in providence tonight. And it happens to us, it happened to these people. It wasn't because they were sinners as such or committing any great sin in the church. They were literally in a time and a period where persecution had taken place. Lives were being lost. Loved ones were being taken. Possessions from them. They were pilgrims in the earth. And it can happen to you in your life. You can have that circumstance if you could only know for a moment that God is dealing with you. Do you understand that everything that happens to you in your life, and even though it may be that you've been brought low in strength and in finance, in relationships, God says this to you, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God and realize that God has a work, and you don't realize the work he's doing in your life, in every small detail, because he has a great work to do. And the greatest work is to get that pride which is out of us. And every snub that you've ever had, and every put down someone has said, and every time you're not invited to some place, every time perhaps you've not had the recognition that you should have had, do you not realize this moment? God's doing every single one of these acts that he'll come, that you would know. Because the only place to be where you could ever be exalted is to be humbled. He scorns the scorner, but he gives grace to the humble. And when you've been brought low, it's not the bad place to be. It really is not. And it's a place which God can use. If I can give you just a personal just illustration or something that I've had to focus on over the years. I remember just reading the title of the book, it wasn't the theme, and it said this: preaching without authority, ministering without authority. And you know, it's been like that. Don't think for one moment anyone would listen to anything, that even if you're a minister, that they're going to follow or lead. I'm in a place where I couldn't even give a prayer request and people will never take it up. I know that. I've learned that. But in that learning process, it's not the end of the world. Because what happens in one's life is that you realize that those things which take place, even though it may be, you know that in that place that God's put you, the lower he puts you, the more you need him, the more you cry to him, the more you pray to him, the more you need him. And so it is in one's life, in your dealings tonight. I'm going to ask you for that for a moment, that you would think of where you are, and you're not in the place you wanted to be. God doesn't want to see you low. God does want to raise you high. But in his process, he brings us low, that we could then truly know what it is to be exalted in him. Really now, there's something that God is doing. And then again, under his mighty hand, it can happen because of chastisement. No, it really can. And when we do those things which are not right and which are wrong, we've got a Heavenly Father who does come to us. And because he loves us greatly, he will do things in our lives. We may resent it as such. We feel that God is being unfair to us and he's not being true to us. But the reality is this, is that God is dealing with us in his all-wise and good way. I assure you that all things work together for the good of them who do love God. And then in that very process, could you not say to God, Lord, make me, mold me, take me, and whatever that may be, as it happened then to David, as he knew what he did was wrong and the hand was heavy upon him, that you entrust yourselves to God even in that. And you could say even that tonight too, that you teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And that you would do that in one's life and experience. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then, in one state, please learn this, in every situation of his deliverance, of what God wants to do in your life, when he brings those people out of bondage, how he delivers them, how he saves them. And I know there are those in this congregation which are still not Christians. And you say, well, what can I do to be a Christian? Humble yourselves. Throw yourself on the mercy of God. Come to a place and say and put yourself there. There is no other way that God delivers his people. There's only when they're brought low. I heard this quote the other day. It was so good, I can never forget it. It's from my favorite theologian, Martin Luther. And this is what the man said. Luther said that God made us from the dust to show us that we're nothing. And as long as we remain nothing, he can do something. He can do something. And in our lives, what you come and you realize that in this experience here tonight, that you may be going through these things. And he said, look, now humble yourselves. It'll be worked out in how you deal with others, but you must understand it's under the mighty hand of God. Don't retaliate. Don't revile. Don't fight back. Don't look for vengeance. Just do it, because he's doing something in your life which is very powerful and very precious, and he knows what he is doing. But then thirdly, there's something else, that is relation, not only to others and to God, but I want you to look now even to time itself. Always remember that. In verse 6, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, if there's anyone here who is going through this experience, please hear these words. It is only ever for a time. The time is, as we read in verse 6, that you would under yourself the mighty hand of God, that you would come to that point, to the place where you realize, just like Moses did in the wilderness, 40 years being someone, 40 years being no one, 40 years being used. It's only for a time, because there's a period where you come to the place and God wants to exalt you. I want to talk about God's exaltation. We know this is true because it's the very place of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, comes into this world. He is God in the flesh. You know the verses. We've quoted them many times. He humbled himself. He submitted himself to his parents for 30 years. 30 years. God in the flesh never came from that house of Nazareth, never went on his super miracle kind of journeys until the appointed time. He was one who came and humbled himself, subjected it to the authorities, came in this world and became as a servant and submitted himself even to those disciples where no one else would take the towel. He would come and he would do that, and he would humble, and he came and he washed their feet. And then he came to that place of Calvary. And there it was that he came to the lowest of the low. And God at a time that under that hand of God, the discipline of God, the chastisement of God, the providence of God, he did it all. And then God's highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Now, that's how it works. You understand that, and you know that in your life. And he wants you to say, look, what you're going to now, I know it's, you're thinking, it'll never end. You come and you submit yourself unto his hand, whatever that may be, and he says, he will exalt you in due time. Now, what I'm speaking to you tonight is something really important in one's Christian experience and in life as a Christian. Do you know, you will never be blessed, really, because you'll never really be exalted unless you've humbled yourselves. Do you know, you can have every ministry you can under the world. You can have prayer meetings, Bible studies, evangelism, open air, but if you've never actually submitted yourself under any authority, you'll never be exalted. Full stop. Never. I'll tell you, a number of months ago, I phoned a fellow minister. And I said, tell me now, where on earth has this person come from? And where does this ministry ever begin? Did you send him out? Was he called by the church? Did you give him authority? He said, Chris, I'll tell you this. From the age of 16 years of age, I could not share with him anything. Every time, for a 16-year-old, I was never in his presence without feeling that small. He always knew more, had all the answers, had every... Look, there was nothing I could do. In the end, he just went and did it. I could not stop. But you know where it ends, you know why? It'll never end in blessing. Shall I tell you why? Because every time we trample on others, climb the great tree, climb the greasy pole, it takes a lot to stay there. But when you've been humbled and God exalts you, once he exalts you, no one can take you down. You know that place is safe. When God, he does it. He does it, brings you low, and he brings you up. And God only can do that. Remember it. In your life is a place of submission and humility. Look, as a church these days, we're living in difficult times. We are weak and we're not strong. As people, we feel the pressure which is upon us. We are not in a place where we are sweeping people behind us. And God says, look, do you know what I want you to do in this place? I want you now, as you're so low, to humble yourselves under my mighty hand. And if my people were called by my name, would humble themselves and call on my name. Do you know, I will heal them and deal with them. I'll forgive their land. It's just this ingredient. You know, we need it in our church this day, because it's the way down is the way up.